if these dramatic gains that we got in 1 year were genuine gains, they couldn't just be the higher functioning students moving the average up. It had to be every kid. So what happened to those students who were most at risk? We started with that phrase, most at risk. We narrowed it to those who were most at risk of dropping out.
Now, how did you determine who's most at risk of dropping out?
Due to a study that we learned about through our cohort, an EDD program.
Do you remember what that study was?
The study was a study by Johns Hopkins University, Balfonts, Herzog, and MacGyver in 2007. And they found, looking at like nearly 13,000 kids in Philadelphia school system, and they followed them for a number of years, and they found that at the end of the sixth grade, students who met one of four criteria, either they failed English, failed math, had less than 80% attendance, or had been suspended at least once, if they had any one of those four criteria at the end of grade six, not at the end of any other grade, it wasn't as predictable as it was grade six, but had they met any of those criteria, a student would have a 60% chance of dropping out. If they had more than one of those criteria, met one of those criteria, they would have like 85% chance of dropping out.
So you looked at these students, and how was the study performed? Which students did you compare the project proficiency students to?
So we looked at students in two groups, the group that had the benefit and the treatment of project proficiency, and the group of students the year before who had same demographics, the same academic abilities or lack of ability, the same setting, the same school, same teachers, who did not have the benefit of project proficiency.
What'd you find?
Well, we found significant differences. There was hardly any gain. In fact, there was a drop in the percentage of students who met proficiency in the students without project proficiency. But in this, for that cohort of students who had project proficiency, there was a statistically significant gain of something like 5 or 6 percentage points. And we're just talking about those particular kids who were at risk. So the comparison group had a drop in proficiency from grade 8 to 11. The project proficiency group had a statistically significant gain.
And then you also looked at another aspect in your study. You looked at another subject that wasn't taught using project proficiency.
Within the project proficiency group, those same students, same kids, not a comparison group, but the same kids, took both a math and a social studies test. Is it possible that their scores went up dramatically because they were just fired up, or it was a better group of kids, or they were fearful of some sanction and the teachers pushed harder? The answer is that the social studies teachers pushed just as hard as the math teachers, because everyone had the, you know, were going to receive the sanctions, and every single teacher was going to be overstaffed. So the same kids who scored high on the math test 2 days later took the social studies test and had little or no gain, but on the math test had significant gains. So built within the project proficiency group was still another control view of things.
How many schools did you see this in, this type of exact thing? All 11 or one?
Well, I'll just say that all 21 high schools implemented project proficiency at some level. Okay, there are like four levels. We broke it down. And 10 persistently low-achieving schools and one school that was kind of on deck, all 11 of those, they did full strength. They implemented all four levels, and those all 21 high schools, for the first time since the beginning of CARA in 1991, all 21 high schools had gains in reading and math, every one of them 100%. But the persistently low achieving schools that really implemented to the greatest depth, those 11 had the greatest gain.